Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:55 British Summer Time. Today is April 28th. Today, a bit of a roundabout day. Early in the morning, the Nikkei closed down 2.5%, so really offset that good positive action had yesterday. Although the yen was a little bit weaker in here today, particularly against the dollar. It had rallied yesterday on the first many of the same reasons that the dollar treasuries and gold had for that safe haven status, but it was weaker in here today against the US dollar, which is a tailwind for the stock market there. Elsewhere in Asia, the Hang Seng was down about 1.5%. The ASX was down just over 1%. China was relatively steady, although it remains a generally weak pattern. When we look at some of the better performers in Asia, such as Indonesia was down today, but not down by nearly as much as it could have been. That's probably cold comfort for anyone who's just been a buyer. But the reality is that in the Asian region, what we're looking at increasingly looks like a reversionary process towards those rising 200-day moving averages, and probably not an awful lot more than that. As we moved into the European session, a number of these indices were down well in excess of 2%, then retraced almost the entire decline, but then Spain was downgraded. And the IBEX closed down almost 3%. The MIB in Italy down almost 2.5%. The FTSE was down just 0.3%, but the CAC and the DAX were both down well over 1%. So the European markets remain under pressure, as does the euro. And although the euro was a little bit stronger against the dollar in here today, it remains very much a currency under pressure. With Spain being downgraded, and the continued pressure on Greek bonds. The Greek 10-year hit over 11% today. Now, it didn't close up there or anywhere close to it. It closed back in the 9%, the high 9%. But that further underlines the slow pace with which the European Union is getting its act together with putting a support mechanism under Greece. There is something of an inevitability about this, but the longer they're waiting, the more panicky investors are becoming, and certainly the more vociferous the bears are becoming in shorting these sovereign bonds. And with Spain being downgraded it from AAA to AA, that further suggests that this is a contagious environment, and that the pace with which the Europeans are moving, they're really going to have to pick it up if they want to avoid really some considerable pressures in the next couple of weeks. I think they had set themselves a timetable for sometime in May to roll out the Greek bailout package, but I think it's probably going to have to come. In if not by the end of this week, then early next week, if some of the fears that are currently being stoked about the European sovereigns, particularly in the southern half of the continent, are to be allayed. And it's a very different story in the USA, with the Fed coming out and saying that they're going to keep monetary conditions accommodative and they're going to keep interest rates low, and that the labor market is beginning showing signs of recovery, and the housing market looking like it's bottoming. So you have this worry in Europe about just how these sovereigns are going to restructure. How are they going to tighten up their fiscal policy? But the USA, which of course has control of its own currency and the reserve currency to boot, has apparently turned the corner. So while we had the majority of indices in Europe down over 1%, the Dow Jones is closing out the day up about 0.5%, the S&P up about 0.2%, and the Nasdaq was relatively flat. The Canadian market was a little bit weaker, down about 0.5%. So there really is a a big difference here between the condition of the US and some of the problems that continue to plague Europe, and that is certainly being played out in the stock markets, where it's quite evident that you look at something like the Stoxx 50, which is pretty much the 50 biggest shares in Europe, including the UK and Scandinavia, and it's almost completely completed a reversion to the mean, and it's now a question of whether it's actually going to find support in this area. Whereas when one looks at something like the Dow or the S&P, it's been a little bit weaker, and you've had these two downward dynamics in the last 2 weeks, but those are dynamics relative to that really persistent advance that we had from early February. And in the broader scale of things, down 2% in one day is something that is noteworthy, but it's in the broader scale of things, is not really anything that is going to worry investors beyond the very, very short term. So it increasingly looks like that for Wall Street, the worst case scenario is a reversion towards that rising 200-day moving average. Whereas for some of these European indices, particularly the Spanish, Portuguese, and Greek indices, they've all encountered resistance at the lower side of their 200-day moving averages and are pushing lower. And they are reflecting the additional risk that is bearing down on those particular countries. So they are having a negative effect on the wider European economy. In the broad scale of things, I think that export-led companies in Europe are probably being weighed on, overly weighed on in this scenario. So there is the possibility that, excuse me, buying opportunities could develop in some of the better managed, better run European companies as a result of this crisis. The weakness of the euro, and there isn't any great reason to believe that the euro is going to suddenly turn into a tower of strength against this background, is going to be a tailwind for the export market in Europe. So that is going to be supporting earnings. And that interesting article I posted today about the fact that not one company in the US will, or on the S&P, will be or is expected to cut its dividend this quarter. That's a very sound fundamental. It also suggests that the dividend yields that you see on shares today are probably relatively reliable. And if anything, that the risks are to the upside in this environment where corporates have such high cash levels. The savings that have been made both in the particularly in the labor market are unlikely to be repeated. But with a recovering economy, while most companies don't have a great deal of space to increase their margins today, that will probably change in the coming couple of years as we move into a stronger economic footing. So that really is a broad or a sound backing to the wider stock market, and we're seeing that the relative performance of the US, particularly against the European market and indeed Japan, is probably warranted at this stage. And certainly if safe haven buying is going to be a theme over the next couple of months, that will favor the dollar, that will also favor gold, and indeed treasuries. So there, with the potential that yields on most corporates have bottomed in the US, there could also be a more focused line of attention on high dividend paying US stocks. Gold today finished down 25 cents, and that's on the spot. It was up a little bit on the future. So it held on to all of yesterday's gain, more or less. Palladium was a little bit weaker, down $10. Platinum was down a little bit as well, as was silver. Silver only down 3 cents, I think. This is a we're turning into, or this is looking like a really quite a positive environment for the gold price. You have the loss of competition from other assets, and the potential safe haven, the status of the yellow metal. And quite apart from any other fact, is that gold is certainly not overextended, and it has been consolidating for the last 4 months and has unwound any overbought condition that was there, and it has plenty underneath it to support further upside. And that is having a knock-on effect for some of the better gold shares, and I've posted a number of those in comment of the day today. But particularly those big gold shares haven't been doing much, but some of the mid-tier and smaller gold shares are testing their highs and pushing on to new high ground, and are displaying really quite admirable leverage to gold's upside potential. And provided gold does do what it's capable of on the upside, then some of those gold shares could perform really quite impressively indeed. The government bond markets were a little bit softer in here today, and well, in the US at least, both gilts and bunds were up on the day, and that German bund yield, the 10-year yield, continues to decline, and that's also increasing the spreads relative to some of those southern European countries. So there is certainly the hedge element is driving these German yields lower. But one has to wonder what kind of value one is getting. So personally, I think that the sounder hedge is in the gold market, and the chart action would support that. An increasing number of people are coming to that same conclusion. The oil market was firmer today by about 70 cents, and it's pulled back over the last couple of sessions, and but it has held above this $80 level really quite admirably. And the progression of failed upside breaks that oil has put in, particularly over the last year, doesn't seem to be appearing this time around, and it does appear to be finding support and ranging here in a quite a tight range in the region of this $80 or above the $80 level, which would suggest that oil could also benefit from, provided the sovereign crisis in the Eurozone doesn't spill beyond European borders, and provided the US economy remains relatively sanguine, then oil could also see some safe haven attraction, as it has done on a number of occasions in the past. That's a potential headwind for the wider economy if it were to occur. So oil really is probably worth keeping an eye on in this environment, because it has been very steady above this $80 level. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.